the Lansing Symphony Orchestra's first Masterworks concert is tomorrow night at Wharton Center. It features music of Dvorak and Enescu, and a modern percussion concerto. Unless you are tempted to make a joke about starting the season out with a bang, conductor Timothy Muffet has this admonition.
Percussionists prefer the word strike to bang. First of all, we'll put that one out there.
Muffet came to our studios to talk with our Melissa Benmark about the music on the program, and they began the conversation with a look at that concerto, that percussion concerto by Jennifer Higdon.
So Jennifer Higdon is really one of America's most important living composers, and one of the most frequently played. I mean, her music shows up on all across the country on orchestra seasons and other seasons. This is a work that actually received the Grammy for Best Classical Composition in the year that it was written. And it was written for a percussionist named Colin Curry, and it's had quite a life of its own with him playing it across the country. It's a 25-minute piece. It's interesting because the solo percussionist is very much integrated into the orchestral fabric. So it's not all, in fact, many times her line is doubled in other instruments in the orchestra, in the piano, in the celesta, or even in the percussion section. The orchestral percussion section is very involved in this work as well. That's not to say she doesn't have her moments in the sun, because she certainly does. But it's very interesting the way the composer came at this piece and thinking of the concept of a percussion concerto. Much of it is pitched percussion, so marimba, vibraphone, and then in the percussion section, glockenspiel and chimes. But there's also quite a bit written for non-pitched percussion, the tom-toms and woodblocks and cymbals and the many, many things that belong in a percussion kit. So she plays an enormous number of instruments. I can't even begin to count them. It's a very colorful piece, very American sounding to me, to my ears. Jennifer Higdon, we did a work of hers called Blue Cathedral a couple of years ago to kind of introduce her to the audience. And then this is an extension of that.
Starting out the program, the Romanian Rhapsody that I kind of consider to be the father of all Romanian Rhapsodies, even though I don't know if it was written, you know, if it was the first one or not, but the Enescu Romanian Rhapsody #1. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, this just seemed like a really fun way to kick off the season. It's a piece that's firmly rooted in Romanian folk tradition, real fireworks for the orchestra. It's starting with lots of lovely solo passages for the woodwinds, kind of set up the folksy melody, and then once everybody kicks in, it's a race to the end, really. It's just a very exciting and fun, powerful piece. I wanted to kick off the season with something that would really get people, get their blood pumping.
Yeah, pretty much if you're not dancing or trying to by the end of this, it's not working.
Right,
but
yeah.
It will work, believe me. The major piece on the work is the Symphony #7 by Dvorak. Of course, Dvorak known for coming to America and doing the New World Symphony. This one apparently written for the Philharmonic Society of London, and there are some notes about him really feeling like he wants to export Czech music to the world and see what that does. So what about this symphony sticks out as being the tastiest parts, do you think, that he was offering?
Sure. I think this is Dvorak's greatest symphony, easily. It's the work where, and it's not to take anything away from his other great symphonies, he was a terrific symphonist, but I feel like the stars really aligned for him in this one. That we have still all the things that we love about Dvorak, the extraordinarily beautiful melodies, that rustic, folksy sense. And this, I kind of saw this work as this work and the Enescu as bookends, as kind of folk-related bookends on the program. So there's kind of an arc between the two of them. We have all the things that we love about Dvorak, as I was saying, in those melodies and in the general character of the music. But what really comes together is his compositional skill in this piece, I think more so than in any of the other symphonies. The idea of melodies, the way he develops the melodies and the motives of the piece are so remarkably coherent in this piece, and they hold together so beautifully that In some of Dvorak's works, there's more of a tendency of a stringing together of melodic ideas. And fortunately, they're extraordinary melodies, so we don't mind that as the listener. And he'll develop them just by modulation into other keys. And but here there's a real sense of development in the sort of Haydn-Beethoven tradition, where little fragments that we've heard out presented as a melody become the connecting material between and also become the expansive material. So without getting too technical, which I already have, Dvorak really kind of finds a compositional voice in this symphony that is unique, I think, in his symphonic output. And it really is very, very successful. We hear a lot of his Brahmsian influence in this. We hear some Wagnerian influence, which we don't often think of the two, but Dvorak was very much influenced by Wagner, and I think that's very much apparent in this piece. There are some kind of forest murmury sections there, the way he uses harmony, hearken to Wagner a little bit. But having said all that, it's pure Dvorak when you look at the whole. And this is a piece that I believe is remarkably inspired from beginning to the end, and just makes for an incredibly satisfying live concert experience.
That's so interesting to me to think of him being inspired by Brahms, because Brahms was so inspired by Beethoven and was so worried about his symphony writing.
Right.
And then to think, I believe it was the Brahms Third that Dvorak was kind of going, hey, you know, I want to do something kind of like that.
Right. And he found his own voice that, you know, Brahms too was very much influenced by the music of the people. And there's gypsy music in all of Brahms, but it's very highly polished and refined. And what sets Dvorak, you know, his uniqueness is that he keeps a little bit of the grit and the dirt under the fingernails in his music, and that you feel that folk connection a little bit more powerfully. And I think that's why he really was a composer that many, many people resonated with.
Timothy Muffet, thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.